What is up, Stage Right family? We are back from a series of drive-in shows. Carlos and I actually saw each other in the flesh, as you heard on the last episode, and got to do some shows, which was really kind of surreal.
Face-to-face. Yeah, man. Three back-to-back shows. They were, like you said, surreal. Surreal to be there, see everyone, and actually be working.
Yeah, it was really weird. And we're going to change things up a bit today. Because we didn't have any bagels on this little run.
Man, we sure didn't.
We didn't. And what's a big deal for me, though, is we had In-N-Out.
Oof. We had some In-N-Out, baby.
And Carlos and I, you know, being Carlos and I, had some pretty deep discussions about the best fast food burger joints, mainly Shake Shack versus In-N-Out.
Yeah, I think it comes down to those two. We're talking burgers, and then we'll do like overall burgers and fries experience, et cetera, et cetera.
We're not talking gourmet here. Obviously, I've had better burgers at different boutique restaurants. So what have you landed on, Carlos? I know we've talked about it a lot, but do you have a final decision for our listeners about what's the best?
In-N-Out Burger is the winner. But overall, Shake Shack does have more options.
That Shroom Burger is fire. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. My whole thing is In-N-Out's more consistent, though.
The pricing is unbelievable. And like Carlos and I were talking about on the road, I have never been to an In-N-Out and thought, wow, this is a really bad In-N-Out. Like, sometimes they're great, but this one just doesn't work. But I've done that with Shake Shack, and the service at Shake Shack is garbage compared to In-N-Out. So I'm going In-N-Out all day long.
I mean, In-N-Out just has so much consistency. The place is always clean. Can't beat the price, really. That's the whole thing.
You just know
what
you're getting, too. You always know what you're getting.
You always know what you're getting. The fries are better at Shake Shack. I'll say that much.
Wow. You just came out at the end with that. That's a bombshell.
Yeah. Boom.
Mic drop. Moving on from In-N-Out. How'd the shows go for you? Because we did drive-in shows, which is also very weird. Not just being on the road, but doing drive-in shows, which two of them were in the round, which I've only done once before on a tour. But it's very, very strange.
Dude, it was cool, man. It wasn't my first time being in the round, but first time with Iration. So that was pretty fucking cool. And just to be at work, I was fucking stoked, man. For real. Like, and being on a cool stage like that, of course, makes it way better.
What were your other shows in the round? Did you ever do front of house in the round?
No, I was teching, but I never actually mixed in the round.
Mm-hmm.
When I did a tour with Prince, it was in the round. And when I did a tour with The Weeknd, it was also in the round.
Personally, I'm not a fan. I don't like in the round. It just feels awkward every time I either see it or do it.
I feel like when people do in the round, it's just to have more ticket sales, which at this point you need, you know? Because if you just did a front-facing crowd at a drive-in, can fit way less people versus if you just did it in the round.
It's very true. And I guess for the PA as well, it makes sense for the cars, even though a lot of people are on the radio, you know, that be closer to the stage in the round.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought it went pretty well considering. I know our workflow changed a bit because it did take a little while to get everything together on stage. I mean, after the first show, I think our setup times kind of got back to normal. But that first day was, even though we had rehearsals, it was a lot different.
Yeah, it took us a little bit longer that first day for sure, man. I think we were just trying to get it right and maybe perhaps overthinking a little bit everything.
I think for sure.
Getting back in the groove of things and also take into consideration that we didn't have as many hands as we usually do.
Not even close.
Just because of COVID protocols.
Yeah, so the workflow changed a lot. I think it was a lot more effort on our part, which is great because now Los is so fit. He just carried like two cases above his head right onto stage, you know.
Right
no problem.
To stage.
Just a 500-pound case right over his head. Just threw it up there.
Oh, yeah. With my pinky.
So, yeah, I thought it was fun. And it was really good to see everyone again. It was just good to be on stage giving music back to people for the first time in almost 9 months.
Yeah, it was weird not hearing like a crowd. You kind of heard a crowd and like car honks, but definitely not as loud or as just strong like energy as it usually is. It felt a little weird in that sense.
Nothing even close. Yeah, absolutely. And another weird part on that is, like, I think we've talked about this a lot, but tour is so much about socializing and networking. And usually we're with however many friends backstage and before the show in the green rooms and after the show, there's just, the green rooms are packed full.
Dude, yeah, especially these cities. I mean, LA, Ventura, San Diego, like, there's so many good friends and homies that live out there and, you know, they can't come because they're either quarantining themselves or a stay-at-home order, or basically we also had a COVID protocol with the band that nobody could come backstage, just your direct household and us. That was it.
Yeah. And, you know, I had friends who actually did come and they just shot me texts like, hey, I can see you on stage. And I just couldn't go see them. And it's just, it's a kind of a sad experience. That part kind of got me down because it didn't feel like what tours used to feel like when you just had all this community surrounding you, you know?
Yeah. And you talk shop, you catch up, shoot the shit. I miss that, man. But we also got to do that with ourselves, you know, so that was cool, man. And at least we got that, man, you know, between all of us, get to hang out, have some meals together and fucking work, man.
Actually, you don't know about this, but I had a really great meal on my way back.
Oh.
Our good friend at West Miyake took Nijo and I out for lunch over by his shop, and I had some of the best Mexican I've had in a very, very long time.
Oh, shout out Wes, man.
Yeah, love shout out guy. Wes. He hooked it up. Yeah, great guy. Great guy.
He's just such a good homie, man. Always a good time with that guy.
And of course, he's the Iration merch manager, so.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everyone in the world, it seems like. And all the best spots, like, Wes just, he's just the guy.
He's the guy.
Yeah, but that burrito was insane. A steak burrito, like perfectly cooked steak, some cherry tomatoes thrown in. Oh. Which is a new thing that I haven't had before, but a nice touch.
Nice touch.
And apparently this guy, everything you eat, he buys that morning at the local market. And it all changes just based on what he sees at the market.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's how you do it. So Los, I heard that Stella had some problems when you got home, your dog.
Dude, yeah. She was puking just like watery bile, I guess. But dude, yeah, we had to take her to the vet and then they had to give her like an anti-nausea shot and prescribed her some probiotics and some anti-nausea medication. And yeah, dude, but she's all good now. Thankfully, she's been...
That's good, man.
Just playing and has her appetite and hasn't thrown up.
So we've talked about this a few times, but what did it feel like leaving this time? We've been home for so long, the longest that we've been home for both of us in years and years. What did it feel like leaving?
Oh, it was really different, man. Definitely a different sensation. I guess I could compare it to like when I got married and then started leaving again. And the more time I spent at home, the harder it was every time to leave. And but this time it was just enhanced. You know, this year we got Stella. Yeah, even though it's a week, it's just, it feels like a lot during these times. And
it felt like a lot longer than a week, for sure.
Yeah, of course. When you haven't been traveling like we used to, man, the flow's different. It just feels different. And time's only an illusion, man. It's what you make it. So you can make it seem very long or very short. And
well, that's deep. That's deep, Carlos.
You know, even though we had a lot of fun and stuff, yeah, it seemed like a longer time.
It's definitely... So most tours, when I'm getting to the last few days, I just get depressed. I'm like, I don't want to leave the road. I want to stay here forever. But this time, I was just so ready to get home. And it felt so good to walk in that door.
I was so happy to just go home and hug and kiss my wife and play with Stella. And
yeah.
Wow. Even though, like, literally, I got home and to Fort Lauderdale Airport, Yuli picked me up and we drove straight to Miami airport because she had to take a flight out.
I know, which is crazy.
Which is crazy, but it's amazing, dude. I love it. It sucks that, yeah, that's the only time we got to spend together. But hey, it could have been worse if we didn't spend that little, you know, 30-minute ride together or...
Oh, for sure.
You know, I'm just grateful for those little moments. And that's the perspective that I try to keep. Like, you have to, dude.
Yeah, for sure. And I was stoked because when I got home, shout out to my girlfriend, Sarah, there was fresh tikka masala and homemade naan waiting for me. for my dinner, which was super clutch. Go, Sarah.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I know, right? I was just, that was like the perfect, like walking into the house and just feeling like I'm back at home. You know, that was a nice feeling. And it's super strange because I never wanted to be home before. Now, after all this time, I'm like, wow, this is really nice being back in my space with my desk and my gear and my hi-fi.
There's just something about creating a home, especially when you have a significant other. It feels more of a home as well. And you want to come back to that feeling and that place, I guess, you know, where you have all that, all your stuff and your things. But it's mostly that feeling of being with who home is, which is, you know, yeah, your dog and your wife or girlfriend. Boyfriend.
And your stuff. And your hi-fi. Yeah. Your
records. Yeah, baby.
So one other weird thing that I've noticed since we were on this little week tour is that Carlos and I eat really well now. Because a lot of the greasy foods that we used to eat all the time, my stomach just was like, fuck you. Nope.
I love cooking. And this year I've been cooking more than ever, of course. And that's all I've been pretty much eating, just home-cooked meals. Rarely, you know, we'll go out and get something. And even when we do, it's usually something pretty fresh. And at the most, it's like a burger.
Yeah. And we went from truck stop food and like any fast food we could get or donuts that came on the rider or like bus nachos at night to eating just completely clean. And it's really changed our bodies because I can't do it anymore. It's so strange.
Yeah, it was crazy. One of the meals that hit me the most was we ate this Mexican food on the first show. And man, it was just super oily and greasy and had fucking all this shit on top. And
you downed it.
As I'm eating it, yeah, I was so hungry, man. I had to eat it to fuel up. But as I'm eating it, I just had a feeling like, man, this is probably not going to sit well, dude. And, you know, I kind of stopped by the end, but it was too late. That shit hit me like a bomb, dude. Like, wow. And that's something, it was from a nice place, like something that I would have eaten fine, like, you know, at the beginning of the year and had probably no effect on my body. And man, did I pay the price later that night. That was brutal.
And that morning.
Yeah. And the morning. Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a ride. But needless to say, I'm super grateful for home-cooked meals and just clean food, man, in general. I love it when catering has good options and you can try to stay healthy and feel well, man. What you put in your body fucking matters to like how you're feeling and how you look.
One thing we're going to do soon, speaking of healthy food, is we're going to have our good friend Courtney Swan of the Real Foodology podcast take over this podcast. And she is an ex-tour manager, an amazing nutritionist. And she's going to talk about ways that you could stay healthy and eat well cheaply on the road. So check that out. And also go check out her podcast, Real Foodology, and her Instagram page because she has a lot of amazing advice. And it has really kind of ruined my life because I realize how much shit I put in my body and how much shit is at the grocery store. It's insane.
Dude, yeah, you think you're buying something healthy and then you read the packaging and it has all these preservatives and crazy ingredients you can barely even pronounce.
I know. And two big things I just learned is the last guest on that podcast was Organic Watchdog, who like surveys organic farms and sees if they're actually certified organic. And seeing what organic actually means is horrifying and super shocking, like how little that actually matters, that label organic. Like there's only a few true organic products out there. It's just unreal to see that. Like how what they actually put in like Beyond Burgers.
Oh yeah.
Like how bad vegetarianism can be because a lot of the veggies, they're fertilized with the manure and stuff from these cows that have been fed all these medicines. They're all sprayed with pesticides. You know, you have to be really careful with what goes in your body.
Yeah, if you don't do the research, you're probably only hurting yourself.
And then of course also on this tour, we put this in our store, but we got a brand new drum set from Masters of Maple. Shout out Sahir, my good friend, who just absolutely killed it. How did that drum set feel for you as the drum tech?
Sahir, thank you for this gift, man. This changed the fucking sound like night and day, dude. It feels like such a tight fit for the sound and it sounds incredible. That thing sounds just big and warm and just round, dude. I love it. I love how it sounds and how it looks. The setup's great. I'm getting used to the little floating tom mounts, but they do sound better. It's a little weirder for the setup, but they do sound better. I gotta say, it releases a lot of tension away from the drum, and it just lets it breathe. It sounds great, man. I'm a huge fan. Shout out to Masters of Maple. Thanks to hear.
Yeah, and the unique wood combinations are amazing too. Everything just comes together so well as a unit. And I've had two of his kits only on the road, but both have just been forever in love with kits, you know?
Yeah, I love the snare too. It's incredible. So deep, sounds so fat. Big fan.
Dude, all of his snares have been amazing. The Trash Talk's amazing. He sent us one that was a wood, steel, wood compound snare. Oh, I mean, that thing is heavy as a motherfucker.
Heavy as fuck, that thing, man.
God damn, it sounds good though.
I remember every stagehand lifting that snare case would be like, holy shit, what's in here? Like, fucking metal, baby.
Just wait and see. Yeah, if you ever want drums, like a forever, your whole life drum kit, go check out Masters of Maple. Hit up my boys to hear, because they are amazing.
Yeah, highly recommended.
And then, all right, Les, I think that's it. It's weird. We already caught up on the roads. We don't have that much to say to each other. We already had all those late night talks in the hotel room. So we'll have some great guests on, though. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you in the next episode, guys. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to give us a like, subscribe, and a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on Instagram @StageRightPodcast. Thank you.